Let's check now what's been happening in the marketplace with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's start with the cattle on feed numbers as they came out in the 2 o'clock hour Central Time from Washington, D.C. in the United States Department of Agriculture. What did they show?
On feed, 99% September 1, placed 97. And the marketings at 90. The placements and marketings both were the lowest on record, Todd, but the placement estimate average by the trade was 95.5. And again, we placed 97%. So between the placements and the marketings numbers, I would suggest you got a pretty tough negative report out of today. So what we saw in gains and the testing of the major highs and the all-time highs in the feeders this week may be on the table for pulling the plug on that, so we'll see how the technicals treat us. But nothing that I could see initially to feed the bull at this stage.
So why was it that the trade was thinking that these numbers would be lower than they turned out? And granted, they remain at relatively low levels.
I think the placements number was a pretty easy answer to that, and that is the major hit to the corn market. You know, we're at about 305 based upon the Andersons website on today's close there in Champaign. And so the idea was is that you would see fewer and fewer placements as the prices dropped and that you'd see more holding back at this stage of the game. I think the marketing's number is probably the harder one to explain given that the summer beef demand was supposed to be so good.
Okay, so what does it mean going forward then, both for the cattle market and then for feed usage?
Yeah, I mean, feed usage, you still got a pretty decent situation because of the low prices and because of the feeding out that we've seen. And the poultry numbers are coming on finally. So I think that can be compensated in part for the cattle numbers. I think the biggest issue goes back to the seasonal supplies tend to build here in the hogs and cattle between mid-September and mid-November. So it's real important that we keep strong demand, and we did see that in the weekly export sales for beef and pork, but we got to keep the strong demand up because supplies do tend to build, especially if the PED virus doesn't rear its ugly head again.
Turn your attention to what's happening in the marketplace directly, cash grain market in particular, where harvest has begun and what kind of impact it is having.
Well, I think the clear answer is that the impact was negative from the opening up of the weather for bean harvest, and you could see that with cash prices for spot beans in Decatur and next door to you down $1.25. Lafayette was down $1.75 today, and Cedar Rapids was down about $1.75 as well. And so that was the initial hit to the market, and I'm sure that did wear and put some negative pressure on the futures market, but it's kind of interesting. In the midst of the row crop harvest starting, the market that got hit the hardest was the wheat once again, and it was down over 5.5% on the week, tested, went below a 200-month moving average that it hasn't gone below since November of 2005, closed right on it. And so I think the second half of the week, yes, we had some harvest pressure, and that probably impacted the market in a minor role, I think, Todd. But the major role was the Federal Reserve meeting, the dollar shooting sharply higher, especially against the yen, and the wheat finding the biggest selling pressure of all the grains, even though, like I said, we're in row crop harvest at this point.
Well, you have long, and many are, of the opinion that wheat tends to lead this market one way or the other for commodities, corn, coarse grains in particular. This is not good news, I would think.
No, it's not. I mean, that's the whole thing. Rule number one this year has been don't buck the technicals because the funds are in control. Rule number two was wheat needs to make the major low first, and I chose to recommend going after paper positions in corn much more than beans, but much more cash advice in beans and much more paper positions in corn with the idea that the wheat would find support before this and by the time we got to the July harvest of the winter wheat. And if you don't get a low in July, I went back to 1990, if you don't get a low in July, then you're counting on August and September to put a low in because you've never had a low in October since 1990 in lead month wheat. And if you don't get something in September established, then you're going to have to wait till November and December, where the distribution increases quite a bit, that a low can come there. But and that would tend to make sense this year if we don't get a low in September, because we could continue to see the corn and the beans pressure the wheat, and we could see a situation where it's the election that really kind of turns maybe some of the focus away from investing in the equities as asset allocation and maybe coming back into the commodities. And so I'm still on that bend, that even with the Federal Reserve giving a green light for a higher dollar and new record highs in the equities this week by not bringing in an interest rate hike sooner, even though the economy is coming on harder, I think, you know, you still have, I think, the macroeconomic fundamentals still on your side at one point in time.
So you have a mind that, and this is a pretty sharp break, or a pretty decent break, technically it looks like, at least in the wheat, that this could be a low or the beginnings of a low, and we could make that in September and then make the bounce for wheat, and followed by corn, a month later or something?
Yeah, usually 20 to 30 days later. I'll play it the same way I have all year long, Todd. I think there are opportunities or areas where you can find a bottom, and it's really up to the funds and it's up to the technicals to answer that question. And so, yes, we are at one of those junctures here to find a bottom. Now, whether we do or not is another question. To give you an idea of the micro fundamentals at this stage of the game, and when it comes to the corn and beans, is that Reuters just put out right before the close a story that we did see a bigger damage to the upper Midwest and the northern corn and bean belt from the freeze a week ago than initially thought, but these things are not getting any play at all. So I really do think it goes back to the macro side at this stage and the asset allocation, and that really boils down to the dollar. The Bloomberg Commodity Index and the dollar have about a 90% negative correlation right now for the past 3 months. So it's a pretty clear window at this point that if you can get a dollar high and a Japanese yen low, then you can start talking about the funds coming back in on a value level basis and turning this market in the trend.
Beans have been on a steady march downward. How much more do they have left in them to the downside, do you suppose?
Yeah, rule number three this year has been, fundamentally speaking, wheat and corn are more discounted and substantially undervalued, especially when compared to the soybeans. If you look at the Champagne cash price this afternoon, you're at $3.05 for fall corn, 15 cents below the USDA low price. If you look at the Champagne cash price for beans, you're at $9.38. You're still 38 cents above the low point of the USDA cash price. So unless you get a yield decline, a surprise yield decline, come in the report in October from USDA, or you get a surprise bean stocks report in the September 30th report, I think you continue to see the beans give up to the corn. I think South America is also adding to that pressure, with weather starting to open up for the bean planting and acres continuing to go up for beans and down for corn.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
My pleasure, and please don't spend too much time with that Professor Dr. Bud Weiser.
Thanks so much, Mike. It is the weekend, man. Hey, Mike Zuzulo, he's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas, joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.